Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Are you ready to move forward this morning? Are you not looking back? Are you ready to move ahead? I sure am, because we got a book today. We are starting in a new book this morning and finishing up an old book this morning. We are finishing up First Peter, and we are going into Daniel. Whew, I'm excited. I am so excited. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for another day. Thank you for waking me up this morning when you know that I was turning over to sleep. God, I thank you that you have given me this assignment to study your word, to read your word, to hear your word, to know your word. Father God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my strength. And you are my redeemer. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I thank you, God, for saving my soul, for changing my life, for making me whole, God. And all I can ask, God, is please increase as I decrease, Lord, let your word come to me. Remove me, Lord God. Take all the flesh from me and put in your Holy Spirit. That what I speak, Lord, is what you want me to speak. Take me away, God, and replace me with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. All I can say is thank you, God. Thanking God this morning for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his kindness and his love above all else. Thanking God for his love. Let's get into our little, you know, your Bible. So get the Bible, y'all. This is Bible study, and we are about to go into Daniel, my second favorite guy in the Bible. There's so many now. I love Isaiah, because Isaiah don't play. I love Ezekiel, you know, because Ezekiel, you know, sees the future, tells it like it is, and don't play. But Daniel's like, hey, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you that. You can like it or you don't have to, but this is what the Lord said. And we got to let folks know this is what God said. And the book of Daniel, in our little Know Your Bible book, says that the author of Daniel was probably Daniel. Excuse me for the yawning, y'all. But I'm going there. It's like, whew, I'm going there because this is such a great book. And I'm going to tell the devil, not tonight. Not today. I'm going to read the word of God. So sleep, you can take yourself right on back to where you came from. But right now, this is God's time. And it says, likely Daniel threw some question, this chapter 7 through 12, are written in the first person, I, Daniel. It's like, I, Paul. Though the first six chapters are in a third person, then Daniel answered. The period of the Babylonian captivity, approximately 605 to 538 B.C. Faithful to God in a challenging setting, Daniel is blessed. Woo! I got to read that again. The 10 words are left for Daniel. Faithful to God in a challenging setting, Daniel is blessed. When we are faithful to God in challenging situations, God will bless us. I'm believing that. I'm believing that God is going to bless some things that I need. God is good all the time, and I'm grateful. And then it tells us this, details, please. Can y'all say it with me? Details, please. Because Daniel is all that. And it says, as a young man, not old, not gray haired, not in his 60s, but young. As a young man, Daniel, along with three others, to be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are taken from their home in Jerusalem to serve the king of Babylon. Daniel's God-given ability to interpret dreams endears him to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, who is a vision statue, Daniel says, represents existing and future kingdoms. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find trouble when they disobey an order to bow before a statue of Nebuchadnezzar. As punishment, they are thrown into a fiery furnace where they are protected by angelic beings like the Son of God. Woo! Chapter 3:25. The next Babylonian king, Belshazzar, throws a drinking party using cups stolen from the temple of Jerusalem. He literally sees the writing on the wall, which Daniel interprets as the soon-to-come takeover of Babylon by the Medes. The Median king, Darius, keeps Daniel as an advisor, but is tricked into passing a law designed by other jealous officials to hurt Daniel, who ends up in a den of lions. Once again, God protects his people. Daniel spending a night and replaced by the schemers who are mauled by the hungry beasts. The final six chapters contain Daniel's prophetic vision, including that of 70 weeks of the end times. Ooh, including that of 70 weeks of the end times. And some quotables from Daniel. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hands, O King. 3:17. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. 6:22. O my God, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. 9:18. And the book was originally written in two languages. Did you know that? Did you realize that Daniel was written in two languages? And the first half of the book is just written in two languages. Hebrew, the introduction of most of the prophecies, chapter 1 and chapters 8 through 12, and Aramaic in the stories of chapter 2 through 7. So chapter 1 is written in Hebrew. And then 8 through 12 are written in Hebrew. And then chapters 2 through 7 are written in Aramaic. And it says, the so what of Daniel? As the old song says, dare to be a Daniel. Thou will always take care of the people who dare to stand alone, to have a purpose firm for him. Are you willing to stand alone in a world of chaos? Are you willing to give everything to God, regardless of what people say, regardless of what people do? Are you willing to stand up for God? Hallelujah. For God I live, for God I die. We got to have an Esther spirit, knowing that God is with us wherever we go. Why? Because he said so. Hallelujah. Let's get into the word. Get your Bibles this morning, family. Get your Bible. Get your Bible. Get your Bible. Call a friend. Tell them to dial 213-943-3597. We are about to go to church. Daniel is speaking this morning. And it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. of the fugitives. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasury house of his God, that little gift made by him. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and come, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might before the king. Now from among those of the hot sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should you see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then he would endanger my head before the king. Then you would endanger my head before the king. And he was like, I ain't trying to lose my head. But I'll help you, but I'm not trying to lose my head. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, please catch your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Vegetarian. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in the manner that tested them for 10 days. So for 10 days, they ate only vegetables and water. And I'm going to tell you, that is some hard stuff to do. Just eat vegetables, no meat, just vegetables and water. And honestly to God, I probably need to go on a Daniel fast sometime soon. And it says this, and at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus, the spirit took away the portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them none was found like Daniel. Among them all, none was found like Daniel. And Ananias and Azariah, therefore, they served before the king and in all manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them. He found them 10 times greater than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his land. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the chaldeans to tell the king their dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the chaldeans spoke to the king in Arabic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give that interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ashes. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, but you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's manner before no king, lord, or ruler ever asked such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with us. For this reason, the king was angry and very fierce and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is a decree from the king urgent that Arioch made the decision known to Daniel? So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the decision known to Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they might seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of our God, of God, forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and rises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and tight and light dwells within him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my Father. You have given me wisdom and might and have not made known to me what we ask of you, but you have made known to us the king's demand. What a God we serve. Daniel is humbling himself before God. Daniel's not walking around all arrogant. Oh, I can figure this thing out. No, he went to the source. He went to God. And when we need understanding, we need knowledge, we have to go to the source, which is God. Hallelujah. Daniel is an example we all need to live by. Humble yourself before the Lord God, and God will guide you and lead you in what you need to do. let arrogance go out the door, because we all know our attitude will determine our attitude, our altitude. And in this case, attitude and asking. They said, you have not because you ask not. Them others weren't asking. Give us some time. Give us a little time. Instead, they knew they was going to die. And I'm sure they were making preparations for that. But Daniel and his friends were like, not today. Not today, Satan. He asked for a retreat. And they were given a retreat. And this is what it says in the word of God. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch, there it is, quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known that to the king the interpretation. And I'm sure the king is like, oh, what is it? But let's see what happens here. It says, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed will be. As for you, O king, those thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me, because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sake, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. The great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of bronze, his legs of iron, his feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while the stone was cut out without end. It struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron and the clay, the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer hearth threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream now. We will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, but the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them. All you are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break into pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and chose partly of Potter's way and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it. Just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, and they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain with our hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron and the bronze and the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Ooh. Serious interpreting, isn't it? Daniel did not play. And it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the reveler of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylonia and chief administrator over all of the wise men of the kingdom. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the seat of the king. Whew! What a word! What a word! A word! God told Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen. And Daniel gave him the interpretation. Hallelujah. God will give a vision, but you need an interpreter if you have not been given that gift yourself. Wow, I am so amazed. This book does something to my heart. And this is just the beginning. Can y'all imagine what we got to read later? I am so excited. If I'm bubbling over, it's because this is a great word. And this is what it says, how can I become more obedient Christian? And this is a life question. And I tell you every morning, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I will tell everybody, Bible, get this Bible. Sell it off the shelf. It's just that good. And I'm going to tell you, we are reading it in a year because that's the way Dr. Stanley organized it. And he organized it wonderfully. Old Testament, Psalm, Proverbs, New Testament. And it all works out that we get to the end of all the books on December 31st. So join me this every morning, because from now on, we got some minor prophets, yes, but those minor prophets were powerful. We got Jonah coming up, and y'all know what a hot mess he was. You know, I'd rather see you all day instead of Jonah. But you know what? He learned lessons too. We learn from God. We got to learn how to be humble, family. We got to learn how to give over to God and be humble. got to be humble. But let's get into how can I become a more obedient Christian? How can I? And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. And like I tell you, when we have life questions, get your paper, get your pen, write these down. Obedience is the bottom line in the Christian life. So what is it? Obedience means compliance to the plan, conformity to the pattern, observation of the rules, adherence to the standard, and submission to another's will. If we want to obey the Lord, we need to know what action God wants us to take, what attitude would most please him, what requirements steps may be along the way. There we go. And how do we get ourselves to that point of obedience? And I'm going to read that again. If we want to obey the Lord, we need to know what action God wants us to take, what attitude would most please him, what required steps may be along the way, and how do we get ourselves to the point of obedience. First, y'all got your pen, got your paper. First, we have to know what God's commandments are. We cannot obey what we do not know ourselves. And we get God's perspective by becoming familiar with his word. And, you know, in children's ministry, you know, my class, we started going over, I call them the top 10, from Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, where God gives Moses the tablet with the top 10, written by the hands of God. And I always say that when it is written by the hands of God, it is important. These commandments, those top 10, were not written by Moses' hands. The ones to come that God gave, they wrote them, the Levites wrote them, and those became statutes, and the reason that the people of God, which are Jewish people, do things a certain way. But the top 10, God gave us not to have any other gods before us. God told us not to bow down to one. God told us not to make any graven images. God told us to honor his day, which is the Sabbath. That's what God told us to do. God told us to honor our fathers and our mothers, that our days will be longer on this earth. God told us that we shouldn't be lying and stealing and killing too. God told us that. God told us that we should not covet each other's stuff. You know, I can't be looking at your stuff and wanting your stuff, wanting your husband, wanting your wife, wanting what you got, not what God has already blessed me with, but I want to have what they got, Lord. I don't want to have what I got. I want to have what they got. And God told us, no, that's not right. You know, God gave us edits on how to live good lives. We have chosen to do what we want to do. We have chosen not to walk in the ways of the Lord. We have chosen to walk outside of God's commandments. And we're going to go over those commandments really quick because I just believe that it's important to this question. And it says you got to know them. You ready? Exodus chapter 20, join me there. It says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. Number one, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing great mercy to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, not the first day, but the seventh day. Isn't that what the word says? In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. But in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and resisted the seventh, and rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Whew, come on now, we got number one. He's the Lord. Number two, you should have no other gods before him. Number three, you shall make no carved image. In other words, no idols. Number four, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Number five, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, when you look at those five, what did Jesus say? That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Loving God, you will know that he is the Lord who brought us out of bondage. He is that we should have no other gods before him. Number three, you shall not make yourself any carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, and you shall remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now let's get down to the last one. You got to honor your father and your mother that your days may be longer upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So many times we want to talk a bunch of stuff and not do what God says is. And then when we get down, it says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. In other words, liar, pants on fire against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. In other words, in today's vernacular, don't be looking at your neighbor's husband. Don't be looking at your neighbor's wife. Don't be looking at your neighbor's house and cars or anything that your neighbor's got. Don't look at it. Don't covet it. That should be mine. He should be mine. I know who my husband is. No, your husband is not Sister Susie's husband. Take that nonsense and keep it moving right back to the pit of hell from which that thought came. Because the word of God has told you, leave Sister Susie's husband alone. Don't be coveting. Don't be looking. Don't be talking. He is not going to be your husband unless you come up with some shenanigans, and then God's going to beat your behind. All I'm saying. But we got to love God first and foremost. We've got to love God foremost. You know, and again, you should have no other gods before me. Number one, you shall not make for yourself carved images. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Number three, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number four, number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness. And number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's anything. Okay? We know the word of the Lord and keep it in our secret place. The top 10, if you look at the top 10 and know, what does it say? what did Jesus tell us? These are the greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. We got to love our neighbor. We got to love each other. First half of the top 10, loving God. Second half of the top 10, loving each other. Come on now. And as Dr. Stanley said, y'all know that done got my blood all up and boiling this morning. When I get to the top 10, I don't play. And it says this. First, we have to know what God's commandments are. We cannot obey what we do not know or understand. And we get God's perspective by becoming familiar with his word. You just learn the commandments again. And it did. Dr. Stanley says, but simply knowing God's word isn't enough. Y'all caught that. We must also tap into his power through the Holy Spirit, who helps us relate God's commands to our own situation and who assists us in determining the wisest course of action. Once we decide to obey, we can expect a challenge to compromise. Ooh. It takes commitment and courage to obey God in the face of these challenges. Courage to give up what we like to do, what he asks. Courage to do things that may be courage to rearrange our schedule to match his plan. Courage to love unlovely, to forgive the seemingly unforgivable and death what we want. Since Satan doesn't want us to follow God, he will offer temptation after temptation to divert us to another place or to weaken us through small steps of disobedience. How can we counter his challenge to compromise? By renewing our resolve to obey as Jesus did. When Jesus neared the end of 40 days of fasting and prayer, following his baptism, Satan came to him hard, tempting him to compromise on his calling. But Jesus stood up to Satan with courage, answering temptation after temptation with the word of God. Commitment like this, he is involved loving God above all else, obedient action, a determined attitude, and a willingness to suffer any consequences that flew out of compliance. Whenever you feel tempted to disobey God, remember that your faithfulness and devotion to Christ are at stake. Ask yourself, is my understanding of Scripture increasing? Am I able to hold to God's plan without compromise? How committed am I to obeying God? If I love him, I will obey him. So how much do I really love him? Are you loving God this morning? Are you taking this Daniel word into your heart? Because I'm telling you, it is nothing to play with. And as we get into a life lesson from Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, God gave them knowledge and skill in the literature, in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God has the power and wisdom and resolve to equip you fully for whatever task or portion or position he wants you to tackle. We will never fall in. We will never fail in a God-given task that God failed to give us what we need. I got to read that again. God has the power and wisdom and resolve to equip you fully for whatever task or position he wants you to tackle. We will never fail in a God-given task because God never fails to give us what we need. We cannot be forced into doing something that God has not ordained. He will not give the vision for it. He will not allow you to walk in it. God will stop you at every turn. earth because it's not your destiny. Whoa. This is what God also what said Daniel in chapter 2, verse 16. Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Before Daniel ever brought his urgent request to God, he demonstrated his trust in him by failing, by telling the king that he would give him what he wanted. Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Come on now. Daniel, like, oh my, I just agreed to interpret this man's dream. God be with you. And then it says, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. When we face various difficulties and challenges, it can give us grace to remember that whatever happens, we are intimately connected to the winning side. So we are on the winning side. We're going to win this championship. Let's get down to our Psalm, because it's all 105 Psalm, verses 15 through 21. It says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouth. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who bear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Amen. And we got to say, praise the Lord, y'all. Can you say it with me? Praise the Lord. And as we get into our Proverb 29:10. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. Praise the Lord. And now let's get into our last day of 1 Peter. And we are in 1 Peter chapter 5. Come and join me there. And this is where our title comes from today. This is where our title comes from today. It's from chapter 5 of 1 Peter. And it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lord over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Wow. You will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. We need to be remiss in every church. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Ooh! Can I say it again? And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Keep that in your arsenal. One more time. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We must humble ourselves before God. And it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the all grace, who calls us to his earnest glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whew, thank you, God. And it tells us, but Sabanius, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you, briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that is our word today. And it says one more time in the life lesson for 1 Peter. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. God delights in willing service, not of grudging obedience, as if we were doing him a favor by complying with his instructions. Eager obedience reveals a heart love with the one who gave the commandment that we love each other. Jesus told us to love God and to love each other. God has given us an assignment to love each other. We are to love. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Regardless of the concern of worry, God wants us to bring everything to him. He always has our best interests at heart, and we will rouse all his infinite power to help us become the people we are meant to be. Are you humbling yourself and trusting God today? 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We must never forget that we are in a spiritual war. Did y'all catch that? We are in a spiritual war. Regardless of how well things may seem to be going for us, we live in a perpetual war zone. We live in a perpetual war zone. We do continue living in a war zone. There's so much going on in this crazy world, and we got to look at it. And it says, how many casualties occur because we think we live in a time of peace? Wow. And again, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We got to keep God's word in our arsenal, so we can fight the fight of faith, knowing who we belong to. And as we get ready to get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And our word for this morning from Sister Carolyn is this: always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Thursday. Have a terrific, sorry, Tuesday. This is a terrific Tuesday. And when we go back to Sister Carolyn's words, always remember that your present situation, Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego were enslaved. They were slain. But what happened? Even when they defiled, they defiled what was not of God, from the food to bowing down, they understood we might die. Daniel went out. He said a word for all of us. And as Sister Carolyn said, this morning, we got to take this word to heart. Always remember that the present is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. And as we get ready again to wrap up, I'd like to just end as we pray always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. One from each other in Jesus' name. We're going to go to our little prayer book for today while we still have a few minutes. And our prayer for this 29th day is waiting for me. You need to preserve, so persevere, so that when you come, when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And we read that in Hebrews 10:38. But this is the NIV and I read it again. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Merciful one, give me the grace I need to get through today. Even as I pray this, I recognize I want more than just to get through. Whatever lies before me this day will be met with the sufficiency of your grace. If I face difficult situations that make me want to run away instead of face them with kindness and truth, give me the perseverance that I so desperately need. When I want to turn and take the easy way out instead of choosing the way of your humble love, fill me with the determination that chooses your way over my own. Lord, as I submit my will to yours, I will find life in the end, no matter what the middle end look like. Give me the strength I need for this day and help me not to get ahead of myself. I am connected to the source of life. I believe that I have everything I need, but everything I'll face because I am in you. And the question for today, family, is when hard situations arise, do you persevere or run away? We are not running today. We're running to the Lord. And as we end our word this minute, I end it with a word from 1 Peter. As we end this book, we end this show. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, family, for listening in this morning. It has been a great word. Pray for your daughter. Pray for your sons. Pray for your mothers and fathers. Pray for everyone. And as you do, remember this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself before God today and watch him work. Thank you so much. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that God is with you wherever you go. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Whew, thank you.